The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're tuned in to Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk, live every weekday on the Nation Network YouTube.
Welcome in, Oilers Nation. Every day, the Oilers found a way to survive November with a 500 record. Wait, November's over. That means I can finally shave off the mustache. Let's get into the win with the lead. There we go. That's much better, hey? Don't have to put you all through that anymore. Welcome into Oilers Nation every day. As always, coming to you live from the Sports Closet Studio, three locations in the Edmonton area, Short Park, St. Albert Malls, and of course, Kingsway Mall. We are in the lead. It's brought to you by Soho Yegg on Jasper. Soho Yegg, find them on Twitter, Instagram, soho.com as well. They are a great spot to watch the game with specials and the Oilers game on a 100-inch screen every game day. Make it your spot tonight. Yes, RIP to the mustache. Ah, the Oilers, though, they walked out of 500 and good, or out of November in good shape with a 500 record. And last night, maybe last night really summed up the month of November well, right? Like the beginning was, and then it got good for a second, and then it almost completely fell apart. That was a fascinating game, but a one goal game against the Hawks is not something that we should be sitting here. And like, yeah, but at the same time, you watch that game. They played so good. The Blackhawks are so lucky that that game wasn't 6-7-1 at different points. I thought that was at 5-on-5, some of the best we've seen the Oilers look. They had two lines that were just humming. The McDavid, Draisaitl, Hyman line basically looks like a power play. The second line was looking really solid. We're going to get into a bunch of different stuff with this. But Liam, I want to bring you in right off the jump. What was for you the most impressive part of that victory last night?
Boy, I guess pretty much the entire game, besides that just a little bit of a collapse. Like, they dominated the game. They controlled it all. That top line obviously went out and just did what they did. Like, didn't Nurse almost play 30 minutes or something like that? I think all of them played to pretty close to 30 minutes. So that line did what they were supposed to do. And yeah, like you said, like we had like 6 or 7 posts. That game should have been well out of reach before it even got to any point. But again, this team kind of shuts off, and this isn't the first time we've seen it this season where just a couple of seconds and next thing you know, it's a very close game. We saw it against New Jersey. Now we're seeing it against Chicago last night. Like, they've got to learn to just hold on to leads and stop throwing away what was should have been a closed out game very easily.
Descra says 6 posts last night. And yeah, that was a big part of why that game eventually did get close and the Oilers didn't cover the puck line. You mentioned the minutes. Nurse, 29:09. McDavid, 27:06. Draisaitl, 26:13. CeCe was above 25 minutes as well. Hyman had 24:34. And then it's basically a 4-minute gap to the next player in terms of time on ice for the Oilers. Mm-hmm. So Jay Woodcroft played the hell out of that 1 5-man unit last night. And I talked about this on the show Saturday when the Oilers reunited McDavid and Draisaitl on the top line. It was, that's not sustainable. Like, you can't, I don't think you can go on a deep playoff run. I don't think you can find a way to scrape your way back into the conversation of potential top spot or home ice advantage in the division by playing McDavid and Draisaitl together for the final 60 some games of this season or 50 some games of this season. I think you need to have them split up because it just hurts the depth of your team way too much. Last night, you were playing a team in Chicago that also loaded up their big guns, Taves and Kane on the first line, and aren't that good after that up front. So last night, I think it's fine, right? And you did get good contributions from that second line with Nuge, Puljujarvi, and Janmark chipping in for a couple of goals. That's fine. I think in a vacuum, it's an okay strategy and it can work. I think over the course of 20 games, you'll still win more with McDavid and Draisaitl separate. Part of it's injuries as well, because you don't necessarily have the supporting cast to pull that off, and you still want to have them playing with some amount of skill. So it's a delicate balance right now just because they're so banged up. I want to get to a new thing we're doing here on the show. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think one thing too, if like Nugent Hopkins was in the box for 8 minutes last night, like that's going to cut into his playing time a little bit, right? And that probably leads into everyone else playing. But like you said, like that second line contributed when they were on the ice. Like Puljujarvi now is quietly like kind of finding his game a little bit, and nice assist on a Nuge goal, nice finish. So maybe that's a bit of momentum for those guys too.
I like that you brought up Nuge was in the box for a lot of that hockey game. The guy took three penalties, including a double minor. But what I liked from Jay Woodcroft is that he actually wasn't leaning on McDavid and Draisaitl to kill those penalties. Like despite the fact they were shorthanded a good amount, Draisaitl only killed 22 seconds. And McDavid was just over a minute and a half. It was Janmark at almost 5 minutes, Derek Ryan just over four, and Brad Malone at 207. Those are the forwards that killed a good amount of the penalties. So I like that he used that as an opportunity to take the workload off McDavid and Draisaitl a little bit as well. Something new we're doing here. It's brought to you by Cornerstone Insurance. They are Edmonton's premier boutique insurance brokerage, your destination for commercial, home, and auto insurance with over 90 years of success and still growing. They insure the nation truck, so I know they are right for you. Three big things for me from last night's hockey game brought to you by Cornerstone Insurance. Number one, I don't think it's the spot for long-term success, but 29-97-18 make it look like a power play every single time they are on the ice. They dominated the Blackhawks. They could be one of the best lines in hockey. And if the Oilers had a better supporting cast, you could probably run with it more. I don't think you can. I don't think it's the recipe for long-term success, but damn it, is that trio ever fun to watch. Number two, Jesse Puljujarvi might be figuring it out. I feel like it's now been three games in a row where we sit here and say, now he's coming off his best game of the year. He's starting to look more and more effective. And you look at last game, that is the blueprint for what he needs to do going forward. Keep it simple. He got the puck behind the net, head up, easy pass to Nugent Hopkins. Make those plays. Also, play with some physicality. He was mixing it up a little bit after the whistles, and then he steamrolled Caleb Jones, and that led directly to the two-on-one that Matthias Janmark eventually cashed in. So I really like what Puljujarvi's doing. I felt like he was a driver on that second line. And number three, even in the games where he's not outstanding, Stuart Skinner helps you win. And I think maybe we're starting to have this conversation of, by the end of the year, could he be a legit number one in the NHL? Or is that Oilers rose-colored glasses hyperbole? But last night, he wasn't at his best. His save percentage wasn't 900. He gave up one that he maybe wants back. But three of those goals were not his fault. And what does he do in the dying seconds when you really need a stop? He makes the stop for you. In tight, Chicago has a great chance on the doorstep, and he slams the door shut. I loved it. I loved the performance from Stuart Skinner. Like, you look at his numbers, he's allowed 12 goals, 15 goals in his last four games, but he's 3-1, and he's made some massive saves. I really like what they've been getting from Stuart Skinner. I think the conversation eventually goes to, you know, is he going to be the guy who maybe plays 45 games for you or 50 games for you this season and Campbell's down in that 30-game mark? Let me know. I want to hear three big things from you in last night's game. Drop them in the YouTube chat. As always, we're live on Twitter, live on Facebook, but I got the chat fired up on the Nation Network YouTube. So drop something in there, or Maybe you have a question for our next guest, Frank Saravalli. There is a lot for us to get to with Mr. Saravalli, and I know he will be thrilled to join the show and see that I am cleanly shaven. So let's bring in Frank. Did you even notice that I shaved?
Yes, I did. You no longer have a disgusting caterpillar on your face, so I did indeed notice.
All right. Let's jump right into things. Last week, we had you on the show, and we talked about Ryan Reeves. He was eventually dealt to the Minnesota Wild. There were a lot of fans who see that name, a lot of Oilers fans who see that name and go, that's what we need, toughness, like Ryan Reeves. How involved in those trade talks were the Oilers?
I think a bit. I think that they really went down the path internally of considering someone like Ryan Reeves once he hit the market. I thought the price that he went to for Minnesota ended up being pretty reasonable, and that it was a fifth round pick all the way out in 2025, which feels like another universe when you say it. But I think ultimately they weren't sure about the cap hit and weren't sure about what things would look like when Evander Kane is ready to come back. And also, can Reeves and Kane coexist and bury the hatchet? That was maybe another part of it that they passed. But I wanted to add one other interesting name that I think received some consideration internally for the Oilers over the last couple of weeks was Wayne Simmonds, as he hit the waiver wire previously with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I think they thought about it then. They thought about Reeves, and I think they're continuing to look at ways in which they can improve themselves and their bottom six and give them a little bit more bite.
Is actively shopping too aggressive of a term to describe Ken Holland's mindset right now?
Probably not. I mean, look, this team is in a spot that they know they need to improve. I think anything that comes up that makes sense, they're probably deliberating, is the way I'd explain it. Like, they'd have to consider any option that comes down the pike.
If they had cap space, maybe they would have, you know, maybe a Reeves deal does happen. But that's the biggest issue, right? Is even with Kane on LTIR, you can't just go spend the money for the sake of spending it and then put yourself in a bad spot, kind of like Florida is with Anthony Duclair 2 or 3 months from now. So I keep coming back to, if they're going to make a splash of any level, anyone making over $1 million, there's got to be salary going out the other way. There's Fogle, $2.75 million. There's Kyler Yamamoto, who's banged up right now, $3.1 million. I don't get the sense they want to move him. And then there's Jesse Puljujarvi at $3 million. He's the only one of those three whose contract expires at the end of the year. And I was debating this the other day. I'm not sure if they would qualify him at 3.3. I'm not sure if any team would qualify him at 3.3. So if you're the Oilers, is there not a little bit of like a, you need to decide on Puljujarvi by the trade deadline this year?
I think they probably, I don't know this for absolute 100% certainty, but I think they probably hemmed and hawed at, you know, basically giving the deal Puljujarvi that they did now. So to take it a step further and say, we're going to qualify him at this number, I think is probably rather unlikely. And so is there a decision to be made? Yes. I don't think it's a giant secret that the Oilers really tried and explored a number of different options to move him. Never really found one that quite fit, but you could always make that part of, depending on which team you're dealing with, part of your next puzzle as you sort through this, which is have someone take on one of those contracts. Maybe it costs you a little bit more, but that's the spot that they're in at the moment. Given the three players, I think the names that they'd probably consider, you hit them all in the head. And in some ways, they're really quite obvious for anyone that might be dealing with the Oilers over the next few months.
The cap gymnastics are going to be fascinating around the league, because it's not just the Oilers that are in trouble with this. Pretty much every contender is going to need serious salary retention. I have a feeling that this year, more than others, we could see that third team really involved, especially when you consider how many teams in the NHL are completely out of the race already and look like they're just tanking for Bedard. Could this be the year of the third party brokerage?
I think so. I think you could even see teams that are way up against the cap that try and do it just to recoup even minor assets if they could. And I think the best example I can give you is the Florida Panthers last year retaining money on Max Domi. And they almost, they were one of the teams that it was brokered. They almost helped another team that was, they could have potentially faced in the playoffs, which would have been really interesting in the Carolina Hurricanes. And so the reason for that is, take a look at the Panthers and other teams that have lost assets in other trades over recent years, and you're saying, well, we have like next to no draft picks, we need to get someone. That's a way that they could put another bullet in their arsenal, is to say, hey, even if it's a fifth round pick or a sixth round pick, to retain 200 grand or whatever team has space, whether it's through LTIR means or whatever it is, the way it works with salary cap space is use it or lose it. And if you're not using it, you lose it at the end of the year. So that's a big, I think, consideration. And some of the teams that are going to be in the mix are quite obvious. Arizona, Buffalo, Anaheim, Chicago, those teams are all open for business. And I think if you're a team like Detroit is where it really gets interesting, because you're someone that really is in playoff mode and wants to be a contender, that they might be able to take on a player at their full cap hit, which could lessen their acquisition cost. And then it becomes even more interesting for Steve Yzerman and his group.
The chat right now is all buzzing because last night they watched the Oilers play the Hawks. They saw Max Domi score a big goal late, and a lot of fans here seem to be wondering, would Max Domi maybe be a great fit for this Oilers team? Is that maybe the range Ken Holland could be looking when we talk about bottom six players?
I think based on what Domi makes and based off of whatever that acquisition cost might be, we talked about this idea last week, is that the Oilers may only get one shot to make a move this year. And it depends on how big they want to swing and when they want to take the swing. But they may have to preserve assets and cap space for just going after one sort of marquee big name addition, whether it's a Jonathan Toews or a Bo Horvat, or pick one guy that you want to select from this year's crop. And if they could then make another side move after that, depending on what they have left over, that's always a possibility. But given, you know, the powder that they need to keep dry for that, I would say getting someone like Domi is probably too expensive of an ask at the moment, considering what they might have their eyes on later on.
I feel like early in November, Oilers fans, you know, look at the Pacific Division standings and kind of go like, okay, Vegas is red hot. Maybe they cool off. LA's maybe right where they should be. But the Seattle Kraken, they're just going to fall off. It's just a matter of time until they lose 9 of 10 and they're back to the middle of the pack. But they've won 6 in a row. They are 14-5-3 on the season. At what point do we just have to look at the Kraken and go, nope, they're legit. They're going to be a playoff team this year.
I think we're getting closer to that point. I mean, we're into December now, and they went 10-1-1 through the month of November. And part of that is, you know, the mojo they have. You mentioned the 6-game winning streak, and I think that matters. But the interesting thing about the way the Kraken have done it is that, yeah, their goaltending has been better. It still hasn't been great. Their team save percentage this year is .888. And perhaps when you have games like 9-8, well, maybe that lends itself to your save percentage being a little bit depressed. But they're doing it also without real stars. Matty Beniers is going to be a star, but he's not there yet. And the rest of their team is a collection of good players, but not stars. And I think that includes their back end as well. So I think the way they've scrapped and hung in there, that I think you have to consider them at least being in the mix, because even just the way the math works, they've accumulated enough points that it becomes really a math problem in terms of how much damage would they need to do to entirely fall out of the race. And my guess is even going, I'd have to sit down and do it, but 500 playing 525 points percentage along the rest of the way, which is probably entirely doable, they're going to be squarely in that playoff conversation, I would imagine. And I think it heightens the awareness of a team like the Oilers and the Flames, and to a lesser extent, maybe the Los Angeles Kings, who the Kraken have beaten 3 times already this year, to get their game in gear, knowing that you got to make hay when you can. And especially now for the Oilers, I know they have Minnesota 3 times here, I think, over the next few weeks, but they've got Chicago, they've got Arizona. The schedule is finally lightened up a little bit for the Oilers, and they need to really make some progress.
easy math, the Kraken have 60 games remaining. If they were to get 60 points and play 500, they're going to be at 91 points, which would put them in the conversation there. So you're right, a 525 points percentage, which is doable. And they're going to be in the big dance at the end of the season. Last spot I want to hit on with you, going outside of Edmonton a little bit. People are hearing the name Alex Formanton today. Explain why and why 3 o'clock Mountain Time today is such an important deadline.
Yeah, we're just over 2.5 hours away from that deadline. It's the NHL's RFA signing deadline, December 1st, every year at 5 o'clock Eastern. And any player who's a restricted free agent that's not signed by then is not eligible to play the rest of the season. Now, there's been very little, Tyler, by way of negotiation between the Sens and the Formanton camp to this point, to our knowledge. And a lot of teams around the league, as they've gotten to this point, are asking themselves, well, why does a team that has cap space and could certainly use another 18 or 20 goals this season and the depth at forward, a young guy that's come through their system as a second round pick, why are they not signing him or not even engaging? And the reaction from these other teams and speculation has been, well, he's a member of the 2018 World Junior team. Was he party to the sexual assault that's been alleged, that's under investigation by the NHL and also the London, Ontario Police Service? Now, obviously, there'd be risk in any sort of transaction like this, given what we saw, even just from a public sphere, with Mitchell Miller and the Boston Bruins and what they decided to do in signing him. Does a team out there decide that it's worth the risk between now and 5 p.m. to pull the trigger? I'm told, Tyler, that the Ottawa Senators are looking for a second round pick in return for Alex Formanton. I don't know if teams out there are getting creative and potentially looking at, hey, do we de-risk this a bit for ourselves and base any sort of conditional pick on games played or something like that to potentially mitigate for the idea of a suspension that could or could not be coming. I guess I don't know the answer as to what's right and what's wrong here. I'm not privy to the facts. I don't know if he was involved, but I can say that what's interesting and has maybe given teams some courage to do this is that if you look at the alleged 8 people who were in the room from that team at the time that this sexual assault allegedly occurred, well, all the rest of them are still playing this season penalty-free as the wheels of justice continue to move along. So I don't think anyone wants to prejudge it, but they also don't want to get themselves into hot water with what may come next. So 2.5 hours to go. We've got our eye on that and a lot more.
All right, well, I will let you get back to that insider life, Frank. Thanks for hopping on today.
Thanks, Tyler. Glad to see the mustache gone.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's get into the wrap for today's show. Actually, I shouldn't even say we're getting into the wrap. It's Assured Forward Giant Game Day. That's what it is today on the show. It was also Assured Forward Giant Game Day for Canada men's soccer as they wrapped up their run at the World Cup. Don't listen to Chris Chalmers. This was exciting, and that was a lot of fun to watch Canada at the World Cup. Assured Forward Giant Game Day. Liam and I were out yesterday out in Sherwood Park, loading up the nation truck with the fine folks at Sherwood Forward with a bunch of food for the food bank out in Strathcona County. So that was a great time. Sherwood Forward, awesome with stuff like that as well. Shout out to the students of Lakeland Ridge Elementary School as well. They were all fantastic. Oilers taking on the Wild tonight, looking to make it 4 in a row. It's been 3 absolute thrillers. I would go ahead and wager that it's probably going to be another tight hockey game tonight if the Oilers are going to keep this winning streak going. The Minnesota Wild are 5-4-1 in their last 10 games. Similar to the Oilers, they have really struggled at 5-on-5 so far this season, and maybe that's a reason to be optimistic heading into this matchup. One, the Oilers typically solid on the second of back-to-backs. We saw them play really well against the Tampa Bay Lightning earlier in November. I could see them coming out tonight with an equally solid effort. Minnesota is 25th in 5-on-5 goals for percentage, 19th in 5-on-5 shots for percentage. Like I said, the Oilers have struggled in that regard as well. But in their last 4 games, the Oilers have outshot their opposition at 5-on-5 in every single one of those games. And the goals are 9-8 at 5-on-5. That works. If you count the Evan Bouchard marker, I suppose then you'd have to count a Chicago goal as well, but even strength, not 5-on-5, it's 10-9. The Wild have been outshot at 5-on-5 in 3 of their 4 games. The goals are 8-8. So the Oilers are maybe starting to move in the right direction here. They're maybe starting to move in the right direction in regards to their 5-on-5 play. And that is wildly encouraging. A part of that is just the top line has been so good that it's really pushed them. And Minnesota hasn't really had that from their big guns. Between the pipes, Marc-Andre Fleury has been wildly inconsistent so far this year, although maybe he's starting to move in the right direction. Kirill Kaprizov is still scoring, but outside of that, it just doesn't seem like they're getting a ton. Sam Steele is centering their top line right now. Like, you talk about the Oilers being a one-line team. The Wild, at least offensively, have felt at points like a one-player team with Kirill Kaprizov. Here's a look at their lineup tonight. Sam Steele centering Kaprizov and Matt Zuccarello. Frederick Goudreau with Nick Patan and Matt Boldy. Joel Eriksson-Ek with Jordan Greenway and Marcus Foligno. That feels more like their second line with Joel Eriksson-Ek and Marcus Foligno there. Connor Dewar with Ryan Reeves, who's expected to play tonight, and Mason Shaw on the right side. So again, this is a forward group that's not overly threatening. The Wild haven't been great at 5-on-5 scoring goals so far this season. The D pairings for Mini, Middleton with Spurgeon, Goligoski with Dumba, and John Merrill with Kalen Addison. They're missing a couple of key pieces. Ryan Hartman is usually their top line center. He's on the IR. Jonas Brodin is day-to-day. So again, they could be missing a top four D-man and their top line center for this game tonight. So I know the Oilers are banged up. So is Minnesota. I mentioned Marc-Andre Fleury. He's expected to get the start in this hockey game. In his last five games, he's only allowed 10 goals against. That's pretty good. But he's also failed to have a .900 save percentage in two of those five games. So it's been a little rocky for him. And I think if the Oilers put a lot of rubber on net, they'll have a chance to solve Marc-Andre Fleury tonight. I really wouldn't have a ton of concerns, knock on wood, about them getting goalied in this one. But we'll see. Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day, that's your lineup for Minnesota. For Edmonton, I saw a few of you earlier in the chat, and I know I'm behind in the chat, but a few of you were asking about Clem Costin. They showed last night on the broadcast that he actually made it to the rink like 15 minutes before puck drop. So Clem Costin should be playing tonight. As for who comes out, I would imagine it's one of Tyler Benson or Devin Shore. I would take out Devin Shore. He hasn't been doing a lot for me. I would move Derek Ryan to the middle, and I would play Clem Costin on the wing. I kind of didn't mind that Malone Holloway Hamblin line, but if you're Woodcroft, I want to see you play him more. So you got to run with that. Like, give him, you played the big gun so much last night that would be my big concern heading into this evening's game is like, hey, does the top line have the juice? Can the second line repeat their performance after playing just as much as they did? I don't know. I think that's a little dicey. So you're going to need some contributions on the bottom six. Clem Costin, Clem Shady. He gives you a bit of a jolt if he does indeed draw in. That'll help. I liked Holloway. I liked Hamblin. Hamblin killed over a minute of penalties last night as well. So Woodcroft is showing he's starting to trust him. You need more from the bottom six, though. Maybe I'll have more on that when we get to our giant keys to victory. Before I bring back Liam for that, I want to get to the chat a little bit and see what you've all been saying. A lot of talk here at the end about Alex Formanton. I wouldn't. I don't think you need it. It's an intriguing buy low spot. And you guys are, someone said, and I lost it here. Formanton feels like an Oilers trade. It's Bison Mask guy. In Oilers trade in the making. Oilers like reconstruction players. Frank tied him to Vegas and Carolina. His numbers are good. You know, so far in his career, if you pace that out over 82 games, he's been a 12 to 15 goal guy. I don't know if he's worth a second round pick. Former second round pick himself. Maybe he's an acquisition that you come in and because of all the issues around him, he just wants to play hockey and you get him for $1 million this year. And Bison Mask guy says McTavish, Cassian, Kane, Vertanen, Formanton. They may like him. I don't think they'll go there. The Vertanen thing, I think the organization recognizes it was stupid and a waste of time. Cassian was different than Formington. Absolutely. That was more of a substance abuse kind of thing, right? Or Formington, I don't know. You don't need this negativity. You don't need the risk. What happens if the NHL comes out and they still very well might do this and say, yeah, we concluded our investigation. We worked with Ottawa police. We're suspending these guys for the rest of the season. Then what? You wasted a pick? And maybe it's not the rest of the season. What if the NHL says, yeah, you're getting 25 games for off-ice misconduct and they lay down the hammer here, which they might do. The NHL is probably motivated to hit these guys pretty hard and show that they're taking this kind of stuff seriously. What happens if they hit them with a big suspension? Why would you want Why would you want to touch that? And Flute, I see what you're saying, even though YouTube's hiding it. He's one of the Team Canada kids. Like, just don't touch him. Just don't bring this stuff into your organization. I get that the Oilers have a past of doing this stuff, and in some instances it worked, but this is not a situation. Flute says disgusting. Absolutely not. Yeah. Tyler says Formanton could still get a criminal charge. I can't speak on that. I'm not well versed enough on the back end of this Hockey Canada thing, but all of this chat, screenshot it, send it to Ken Holland, avoid it. Don't touch it. And if Ottawa's asking a second round pick, that's a lot. That's a significant asset. You were all talking about Domi in the chat. Domi probably doesn't even cost you a second round pick. So do you want Formanton and all the baggage? Or would you just save the pick and go get Domi? Bison Mask King, I would conditional that second round pick. Okay, great, but it still ties up the pick. Remember the conversations we were having about the Keith pick at last year's deadline? It's like, oh man, you can't move these two picks because they're tied up in that Duncan Keith deal. Don't tie up your picks either. Just don't touch this. I'm telling you guys, it's not worth it. He's not like, the Evander Kane thing was a little bit different. This Formanton thing, just stay away from it. Don't touch it. I want to bring Liam back in for a little Sherwood Ford Giant Keys to victory. Liam, I'm going to go ahead and say, and I've said this a few times, bottom six, baby, bottom six, bottom six, bottom six. Give us that big depth goal. It worked against the New York Rangers. Big reason you won that hockey game last night. It was the second line who gave you some big goals, but go out and get some goals, get some energy, get some big plays, get some zone time from that bottom six. They are my Sherwood Ford Giant Key to the game. What do you got?
Yeah, I think I would agree. I think the Oilers are probably going to have to lean on the top guys again tonight. So yeah, maybe that's kind of the key to the game, I suppose. Like, your best players need to show up again. And if we can make it four wins in a row, it's, you kind of forget about what happened in the other games before that, right? Like, you're starting to get a bit of momentum going. I guess that's my key, is just keep the good times rolling and let's get another 2 points.
And McDavid needs to be the best number 97 on the ice, correct?
Yes, and he will be, even if he's blindfolded.
Last night was, again, he had 9 shots on goal in last night's game, and it feels like whenever he goes to Chicago, he does something highlight reel. That goal last night was sick. He had the one earlier this year, nasty, and then he even had the one, remember the blind backhand pass to Maroon that he had in Chicago like 5 or 6 years ago? Right. He loves playing at the Madhouse on Madison.
Yeah, I guess there's some places some players like to go. Like, Draisaitl is the mayor of Smashville, and maybe McDavid is the president of Chicago. Like, there's a lot of options here, and if that's what they want to do, at least it's against Western Conference opponents and not teams that are going to play once or twice a year, right?
Yeah, fair enough. Rusty, McDavid is the best 97 in any sport ever. Yeah, I don't have any names in my mind that I could use to. Mm-hmm. Isn't Joey Bosa number 97 for the Chargers?
Yeah, he is.
He's on McDavid level, so who cares? Tyler, don't touch it. Look at a defenseman. If you really want, sure, Domi. I would blow the load on Horvat, though. I am a fan. Steve Yzerman had a really interesting take on the TNT broadcast last night about team defense and how that comes about, right? Getting a third line center could be just as effective. Getting a third line center could be just as effective for this as getting a D-man, right? If you have someone who consistently wins draws, who is hard-nosed below the goal line, they can help you break up cycles too. I think a centerman helps out your defensive play maybe more than people are recognizing. Just being better, like, even getting a bottom six winger who's a pest, who's hard to play against, who gets things moving in the right direction, that helps you in your own end because you're not spending as much time in the D zone. Plays aren't dying as much in the offensive zone and going back the other way. Like, I understand that everyone wants a D-man because this team needs to be better in their own end. But what I'm saying is, building a better forward group also could make you better in your own end, right? Like, it's not like you're just getting a forward and being like, oh, we're going to outscore our problems. You can get a forward that helps your D zone play, helps your 5-on-5 metrics and all of that. Smart Cowboy says Taves is a better fit than Horvat. I agree with that 100%. I think hard nose, strong defensively, go get Jonathan Taves. Go get that guy. He helps you in your own end. Get a defenseman somewhere that's making $1.2 million that you can slide into the lineup on your third pairing, help on the shutdown side of things, give you that extra layer of depth. Tyler says we can't afford Taves. Why not? I don't see a way, like, you're going to have to get a third team involved, but Chicago's the other team with rumored interest. They have to get a third team involved. Everyone's going to have to get third teams involved. That we talked to Frank. This is going to be the year of the third party broker. You get Taves retained down to 5 and you move out Puljujarvi in the deal. Boom. There you go.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Keep this thing rolling here. Big game tonight against the Minnesota Wild as the Oilers look for 4 in a row. Smart Cowboy dressing room guy as well. Yeah, I'm with you, dude. Taves is my guy. I've moved off the Chychrun thing. Carson Soucy's probably not going to happen now because Seattle's looking like a freaking playoff team somehow. So Jonathan Taves. And is it going to cost you a lot? Yeah, it's going to cost you a lot. You're going to have to give up one of Fogel, Puljujarvi, or Yamamoto to make the money work. And it might cost you a first-round pick. What are you doing this year if you're not spending that? Your window is not infinite. It's going to last a few seasons, but these next few seasons are years where you need to be going out and spending those big assets and get impact pieces that can push you over the top, because I think they're close. Hornbots are back. Damn it. We'll solve that. Tyler, you think Ken Holland is smart enough to do that and helping team defense by moving one of our best two-way wingers? I get that people love Jesse Puljujärvi. As I adjust the way I'm sitting because my back hurts. I get it. But I'm saying the reality of this situation with the Oilers is they need to sit and have the tough conversation with themselves of, do we like this guy enough to qualify him at 3.3 and bring him to arbitration? Last summer, what was the issue with Puljujärvi not being able to move him at the draft? No one wanted to touch his ARB number. Teams wouldn't trade for him. They're scared of the arbitration case. Oilers bring him back. Let's do it again. I'm not saying he's a bad hockey player. I think he has more trade value than Warren Fogel. That's going to help you get a bigger piece. He's not one of their best defensive wingers. I don't buy that for a second. I love the guy. He's played some great hockey over the last 3 games. He's starting to piece it together, and if he gets on a roll, he could score 6 goals in the next 10 games, and we'd love it. Liam said in the chat, I would miss Jesse. Yeah, I would too. He's great. But Jonathan Taves could help you win a Stanley Cup this year, right, Liam? Like, I get it. Puljujarvi is an awesome story. He is an awesome character. But if that's the price to go make an impact move and make the money work, then son of a bitch, you got to do it.
You got to do what you got to do. And the Oilers got to go and try and win a cup with McDavid and Draisaitl and the contracts they have right now. And a guy like Jonathan Taves helps out a lot. And like you said, like the locker room, the experience he has of winning 3 Stanley Cups, the Olympic gold medals, like these kind of guys just aren't growing on trees. You know, like he is like one of the best players to ever play in the NHL. And imagine him on the Oilers. And I hear the shouts for like a defenseman and all that stuff too. But I think ultimately, like, team defense also helps out go a long way as well. So we're only missing one player from the defensive core that got us from the Western Conference Finals last year. And part of that team was also Darnell Nurse, who was basically playing on one leg for the entire playoff run.
Yeah.
So
their best D-man last year in the playoffs was a guy playing on one leg. You're right.
Exactly. And it's just like, I get it. Like these first 20, what are we at now? 23 games of the season haven't been fantastic by any means for the Oilers. We probably haven't even seen them at their best yet. So I think right now Taves would be the option for me, but I hear what Frank's saying too. Like I like a guy like Max Domi. I think he'd be a really good contributor, but I would go after those big guys first, like a Taves or maybe even a Patrick Kane, for example. I don't know who else is available defensively, but like maybe a guy like Domi is someone you go after you've already tried to get all those guys. But I don't think Ken Holland's going to sit on his hands. I think he's a patient general manager, which he's proven in all his time he's been with the Oilers. But also he's proven he's willing to go out and get some guys too, like Anthony Seo and Mike Green that 1 year. Obviously, they didn't work out, but COVID had a big part of that. Last year, we got Kulak and Derek Brassard. I feel like there was someone else who I may be missing. But at the end of the day, like he's actively trying to make this team better. He's always actively trying to make this team better. And if he sees the shot, I think he's going to take it.
Someone said Taves is super injury prone. So I guess it is Tyler says he's super injury prone. So blow it all on a guy that might not finish the season. He missed the 1 year where he sat out the entire shortened season because he had a health condition. Here's his games played in the how many years back you want to go, Liam? Let's go all the way back to 2012, 2013. He played 47 games in the lockout shortened year. And it's 76, 81, 80, 72, 74, 82, 70, 71. A guy who misses 10 to 11 games every second season is not a guy who's injury prone. So we can cool it with that. That's just not true at all. He had a health condition. He put it behind him. He's played 22 games already this season. The injury concern would not be a thing for me.
McDavid probably missed more games than Taves, right? Just thinking of McDavid's injury. I bet McDavid's probably missed more games than Taves. Like with the injuries he's had, like I don't think it's fair to call Taves injury prone, but like Tyler put in the chat, he's only played two full seasons. It's like, yeah, but that doesn't mean he's injury prone. If you're missing two or three games here and there, it's just being in the NHL.
Yeah, he's only played two full seasons, 82 games, 80, 81, okay, 80, 82, and then the year where he played all 47 in the lockout shortened year. Okay, that's six full seasons out of his 12. Mm-hmm. And the other ones with 70, again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 70-plus game seasons. So
he also has three huge playoff runs, too.
That is a tremendous point as well. Let's count up the playoff games this guy's played. He's added 137 playoff games in his career. So he's played a ton of hockey. So even if he did have injuries, I wouldn't be like worried about it because that guy's played more hockey than almost anyone. He'd be a great fit. He'd cost a lot for you. But again, I think that's the kind of move Ken Holland will ultimately look at here. Circling back to the game tonight against the Minnesota Wild, Liam, Jack Campbell going to get the start. Your expectations for me, it is Jack Campbell, 900 plus save percentage. I'm happy. I'm not setting the bar super high with this guy. Just be 900 or better, and that's how we're going to get this thing back on track.
To be honest, I'm not even looking at the numbers with Campbell anymore. I'm just wanting to go out there and play well. I think the numbers are just gone for this guy at the moment. So if he can go out there and put like a good performance together, then I'm more than happy with that. Like the other night, who did the Oilers play at Rogers, Florida? Like Stuart Skinner allowed three goals or whatever it was on that night. Yep. And two of them weren't his fault, right? And I would say he had a good game. And I don't think his save percentage was 900 that night. So I just want Jack Campbell to kind of maybe get a bit of belief back in himself. And we mentioned it yesterday. It sounds like the boys in the locker room are kind of trying to rally him up a little bit. And like behind him, they were talking about that big win he got in New York. So I believe in Jack Campbell. I think we're kind of seeing a turn in his season right now. And hopefully he can just come out and just have another solid game for us. Cause that's all we need. We don't need him to steal the show. We have McDavid and Draisaitl to do that. We just need him to allow those guys to go and do it.
100%. Rusty says the only number that matters is the W. I mean, team-wise, yeah, absolutely. But I also think there's something to be said about just getting Jack Campbell back to a solid level here, right? Where you're not going into the game being like, is he going to get lit up tonight? What's going to happen? Because even against the Rangers, he only gave up three goals. He gave up two that got called back. I know one was goalie interference, but it was kind of soft. And the offside one, like you still give up the goal. So it wasn't a great game against the New York Rangers. I want to see Campbell really find a groove here. That's one of the more important storylines as we work our way to December. The Oilers have to start starting games on time. They need Jack Campbell to get to a solid level. And they got to prove that they need to lose this reputation of playing down to their opponents. Like, that is something. Last night, it wasn't an issue. I thought last night was really good. Again, mm-hmm. 6 goalposts and one that got called back on Hyman that I didn't love the call on. They very easily could have been up 6 or 7-1 at any point of that hockey game. They didn't start great. Yeah. That's something I want to see him work on tonight. But don't play down to your opponents. This is a Minnesota team that's kind of shitty at 5-on-5. So push them. Play hard. You know?
There was actually, I was trying to think of this last night. Maybe you can remember. What was the goal that was called back on Kane for goalie interference? Because wasn't it something very similar where, like, it was almost the opposite where, so Hyman pushed
it was against
Caleb
Chicago
Jones last night. It was against Chicago, wasn't it? Because Jones pushed Kane into the Stalock that night. And then it was kind of the complete opposite to the yesterday. I just think such a confusing rule. Because you remember he was like kind of guided into Stalock and he couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, I'm remembering that goal now. That's a good point. It was Jones and Kane was outside of the blue paint and Jones pushed him in. He made contact with Stalock. Oilers score. They wave it off. Okay, so that results in a no goal when your own team pushes you in. And then on the other end of the ice, if the opposition pushes you in as well from outside the blue paint, I don't know. You're right. It is very confusing to try and make sense of all
weird.
That.
Yeah.
Video review judges in Chicago hate the Oilers.
clearly.
There's a bunch of you watching right now. Surveyor Brett is itching for our NFL betting pick, so let's give it to him. Well, let's just talk betting in general, courtesy of our friends at Betway. Second straight game day for the Oilers and Liam. I think our friends at Betway have them as dogs.
They are road dogs at +130. So if you want to chase some juice, they're a hot team right now. So I'm not going to chase it, mostly because I found two other picks that I like a little bit more. I mean, one of them has to be Zach Hyman, right? I mean, when is this guy finally going to get a goal that isn't disallowed? Like before when he scored last night and he was disallowed, I jokingly said to myself, I'm not going to celebrate this one until the puck drop again. And the next thing you know, there's a challenge. So that's a funny one. But I think Hyman, like if you're on the top line with McDavid and Draisaitl, like you kind of got pretty good odds there. I was looking at Draisaitl and McDavid too, but Hyman's a little bit juicier, so I'll go with that. And also, while the Oilers have been able to score a lot of goals, they're still allowing a lot of goals too. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with the over tonight too. And just looking forward to a typical Oilers game where they keep me on the edge of my seat literally until the last second of the game.
One of the bets Betway has is you can bet on how many minor penalties a team will take. Oilers to take over 3.5 minor penalties. I don't mind taking the over. Yeah, it's not terrible. The over with McDavid to score 2+ points is even money. Actually, no, that's not juicy enough. I'm staying away from that. I think I'm going back on the Bouchard shot prop tonight. I think that's a good one. And the Oilers have been ripping the puck a lot recently. Fleury over 26.5 saves. I think that'd be an intriguing one. You know, the Oilers finished the game with 32, 33 shots. Fleury gives up 4. They still win. He's got 29 saves, hits that mark rather easily. So I'm going to go Bouchard over 2.5 shots at +115. Fleury over 26.5. Couple of player assist lines I really like in the NHL tonight. Dawson Mercer and Matty Beniers, both basically running at an assist per game over their last 5. And they're both paying out +155 or better. So those two as apples. And Marcia So shot prop was one of my plays tonight. Love that spot. What was... There was a puck line I liked tonight. Colorado against Buffalo. That was the puck line tonight. Buffalo's been getting smoked recently. They played last night. They finally won last night, but they're a team that was playing bad, then got a big win. Colorado was a team that went on a nice little run, then got smoked their last time out. They're going to be motivated tonight. Take the Avs at +135 on the puck line. We hit 200 viewers today, Liam. Good work on YouTube.
Yeah, thanks everyone for watching. It's always appreciated.
Yeah, if you're still
Make
watching
sure you hit
right
the
now,
like too.
Yes, hit the like button for us. Do us that solid. Shout out to our friends at Betway. 19+, please play responsibly. Betway.com. Get in on the fun tonight with the Oilers versus Minnesota Wild. Game is at 6 o'clock. My Buffalo Bills, Liam, play at 6:25. So I got a nice Buffalo Bills spread bet loaded up. I got 2 TVs ready to go. It's a good night to be Tyler Yarmchuk. I'm clean shaven, so my girlfriend will finally look at me again.
Could we possibly see a Buffalo Bills and Edmonton Oilers parlay? A Tyler Yaremchuk special?
You see how quickly I just jumped up there? Let me fire that up. Let's see what we're cooking up here. The Tyler Yaremchuk special. Maybe Betway could like boost it for us. Actually, I don't think they do that. Oilers, money line, Bills. Give me Bills on the spread. Ooh, plus 355 for Oilers, money line, Bills on the spread. You believe that is getting bet tonight. Hammer it. Hammer it. All right. Thank you for that motivation, Liam. Hopefully my account is growing because of that. Surveyor Brett, I can't read that. You know I can't read that. Okay, shout out to Soho. If you want somewhere to watch the game tonight and you're in downtown Edmonton, sohoyeg.com. More info there. It is a tremendous spot, and their deals on game day are unreal. They got the game on a 100-inch TV, big projector screen in front of their stage. Beautiful. $4.75 Molson, half-price wings, $8 for a slice and a pint. That is unbelievable. Great stuff. Shout out to Soho. Cornerstone Insurance. This was a Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the show from the Sports Closet Studio. Shout out to Canada. That was fun. We're going to get some new gear in here as well. Sportscloset.ca for all your Christmas shopping needs. Liam, I will see you at the office in a little bit. We got a new episode of Real Life dropping later today on the Nation Network as well. Enjoy the game tonight, everybody. And tomorrow, your Yaremchuk versus Bagged Milk on Oilers Nation every day. It's going to get spicy. Make sure you tune in.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.